Welcome to Get Connected, KDNK's monthly public affairs show about the people and organizations that make up the giving and service community from Aspen to Parachute. I'm Amy Barr, your host. I serve as the Executive Director of United Way Battlement to the Bells, and this program is an opportunity to share my insights and connections with local nonprofits. Each month, I interview different charities, hear from dedicated volunteers, talk to the donors that support charitable work, and tell you about ways you can volunteer. This month's show features Kyle Crawley of Stepping Stones, a local drop-in and services center for teens ages 14 to 21. We'll also talk with Jeffrey Barbie about his global journalism assignments, including his current work in South Africa, where he resides, as well as his work back here in his home community with Alliance Earth, a local nonprofit with global reach headquartered here on the Western Slope. And as always, we'll offer up-to-the-minute announcements about volunteer opportunities and nonprofit events and charitable needs in our area. We begin with Kyle Crawley, Executive Director of Stepping Stones. This local nonprofit provides direct assistance to underserved Roaring Fork Valley teens to help them reach self-sufficiency by providing a safe and structured environment where they can learn life skills, participate in experimental learning, and have access to professional counseling and support services. Kyle, you're the Executive Director of Stepping Stones with offices in Carbondale. Now, give us a little synopsis of your nonprofit mission and the needs you serve here in our KDNK listening area.
Sure. Stepping Stones is a drop-in center here in Carbondale for teens ages 14 to 21. We're located at 1010 Garfield Avenue, kind of centrally located in Carbondale, close to Soper's Park. We're open every day after school, and we also do a lot of activities with teens on the weekends. We're open Monday through Friday, 3 to 6:30 p.m., and then on Wednesdays for early release, we're open 12:30 to 6:30. You know, the founder, Kristen Nelson, she's a local resident and passionate working with teens, and she opened Stepping Stones almost 2 years ago now, kind of with a vision to support teams with a variety of challenges. So far, I think in the past 2 years, we've had great success helping teens navigate some real difficult situations. You know, some of the common issues we deal with are things like substance abuse, mental health issues, homelessness, food security, just to name a few.
Are you getting mostly younger people from this area? Do you get people from out of our area? Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. We are primarily serving teens in Carbondale. About 80% of the youth we serve are at Bridges High School. But we do have a couple kids outside of the area, too, from Yampa, Basalt High School. So some of the neighboring cities also, we serve teens in those areas as well.
What are the biggest comments that you're getting from younger people? Or you said what the problems were, but what do you do with them when they walk in the door? I mean, give me a little example.
You know, we offer services within our organization that help with some of the issues they're facing. And then we also are kind of that first line of defense to, you know, connect them with other resources in the community. So we try and handle some of the basic needs that kids might have. So we serve food every evening. We offer transportation assistance. They can shower at our facility. We have laundry facilities that they have access to. So we try to take care of some of the immediate needs. And then, you know, for other issues like maybe mental health issues, we'll refer out to counselors and subcontract those services.
So this sounds like your clients are not going home at night. They have no home to go to. Is that often the case as well?
It's a wide variety. We definitely have dealt with a fair amount of homelessness with some of the teens that we've worked with. And so, yeah, they don't know where they're going to get their next meal, and they might not know where they're sleeping that night. And so, you know, we've done a lot of placement with local families that are willing to take kids in short term to kind of help stabilize them. And, you know, we work on a whole lot of other issues associated with that. You know, we work with Lift Up to make sure they have food.
Local food bank.
Yep, yeah. The local food bank. And we try and teach them employability skills to get them employed so they can start paying, you know, possibly paying rent and kind of taking care of themselves. So we kind of try and take a diverse approach and offer a lot of different services within the house to hopefully get them stable and successful.
Would you consider some of your clients abandoned in any way, or they just have no place to go, or they ran away from home maybe?
Absolutely, yeah. We've had some teens that have run away from home. We've had teens that their family had just kind of dropped them off here, and, you know, they've got nowhere to go. So, I mean, it's a wide range of issues and situations that the kids are dealing with. Some of it is, you know, is abuse. Some of it's neglect. Some of it is they're older. It's time for them to move out, and they're just kind of couch surfing on, you know, at their friends' houses. So,
is this a temporary solution, or how long might they be associated with Stepping Stones?
So we are a 100% voluntary program. So they're associated with us as long as there's a need, and really even beyond that. There's lots of kids that we've worked with that they've, you know, come to us in the beginning, and we've helped stabilize them and help them. And now they still come once or twice a week. They're in much better situations, but we're still helping them navigate little things like how to talk to their boss at work and things like that.
There's been a lot of national news about runaway youth, or I know we're close to I-70, so we may be, I hate to say, a trafficking area, but we have seen some trafficking, and especially going from Denver on west. I mean, how does this compare nationally with the problem with youth who have no place to go?
You know, that's really hard to compare. You know, I lived in a metro area in Denver in the past, and you know, just looking at national statistics and local statistics, it's really hard to compare what's going on nationally with what is going on here in a rural community. That being said, we still have a lot of the same issues. And I think a lot of people in this community, when I talk about the issues that some of these kids are facing, they're shocked.
Well, shock me. Tell me what those might be.
You know, I mean, some of the things that we're dealing with, like I said, are homelessness, you know, substance abuse in terms of, you know, some like crystal meth. Is kind of a new issue in Carbondale. So, I mean, the severity of some of these issues ranges, you know, but some of these issues are real serious, and they're right on our front door, you know.
So the meth issue, because it's inexpensive and easy.
Yeah, I think the price and, you know, I think it's a fairly new thing here in Carbondale, but I think because of the price, it's easy for teens to get, and it's cheap, and it's kind of seems like the new thing that is causing issues with a lot of the teens that we work with.
I've seen you at different places. We serve together on the Garfield County Human Service Commission. We've been up to the Health and Human Services in Pitkin County for those monthly meetings. You must collaborate with a lot of different organizations that we all talk to. Can you explain some of your collaborative efforts? Because I just can't imagine that these kids, I mean, they need a lot of services.
Sure. You know, we collaborate, with a lot of different organizations. We serve a home-cooked meal at our house 5 nights a week. And so we've got a partnership with Lift Up, and one of our board members, Joe Markham, volunteers for Lift Up and probably does drop-offs of food twice a week from Lift Up at the house.
Gee, that's terrific.
It's huge, yeah. Helps bring our costs down. And so that provides a lot of the food. And, you know, we'll cook dinner at night. And also, if kids need a lunch packed for work tomorrow, we try and meet all the food needs that we can with the teens that we work with. We work with Garfield County Prep. Diana from Garfield County Prep does a girls empowerment group at the house. We work with a lot of private businesses. Jewel Salon and Basalt does free haircuts every Wednesday. We take two kids to get free haircuts.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, so lots of great partnerships. And, you know, it takes a village to do what we do. And so we really appreciate all the support that these organizations and private businesses give us.
You also work with Jaywalker Lodge,
is that
right?
Yeah, particularly with, you know, some of the substance abuse issues. For example, we have a teen right now who's struggled with meth use and is going to NA groups at Jaywalker. And so we try and, you know, partner with them to get the services that their teens need, especially the substance abuse issues and the addiction issues they have.
And I think I saw some of your, I call them students, some of your clients up at Windwalkers for therapeutic writing services. Am I right?
We do a lot of activities on the weekends and activities outside the house where we try and engage them and give them healthy alternatives to things like substance abuse. So Windwalker is just one example of a great organization where we'll take kids to get out in the ranch, ride horses, you know, get out of the city and kind of experience something new, hopefully, you know.
So what's on the horizon for, I mean, you've only been around for 2 years. I remember your first open house. What's on the horizon for Stepping Stones?
We just recently completed a construction project, and we've finished our basement and added an activities room and a music room. We added a basketball court outside. And so, you know, we're probably going to have an open house and kind of reveal that to the community, the upgrades we've done to our facility sometime in early November. We don't have a specific date set yet.
So that'll be an open house for the public so they can see what you do.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I mean, the public, you know, is always welcome to stop by during operating hours to check out our facility. But we will have a designated event to kind of reveal, you know, our facility to the public.
What needs do you have? Equipment, obviously, donations. Don't we all need donations?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you looking for right now in early September?
You know, we always need more volunteers. You know, we just went rafting last week, so it's great to have volunteers to kind of engage youth in those activities. Cooked meals are huge. We have a lot of volunteers that will cook a meal, you know, for 20 people, drop it off, which is great because then it gives the staff and I time to really spend that time with the kids and not spend that time cooking. Outdoor gear is always appreciated. You know, we're always rafting, hiking, skiing. So any outdoor gear is always greatly appreciated. And, you know, we always have seasonal needs, things like winter jackets, stuff like that that comes around. So,
aha, we can get you winter jackets. So
great.
I know that Salvation Army does a huge drive. So, ooh, let's connect you with them. Kyle, you also told me that Stepping Stones will be expanding soon. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. We're looking to expand in the next year or two. And I think what most likely will happen is we're probably looking to expand into Glenwood Springs. We've definitely heard from educators and other community members that there's, you know, an equal need in Glenwood Springs. So we're looking for a location probably close to Yompo or Glenwood High School to kind of duplicate what we already do here in Carbondale.
Well, that's terrific. Where can people find more information about Stepping Stones?
They can go to steppingstonesrfv.org.
Roaring Fork Valley.
Yep.
steppingstonesrfv.org.
Yes. And, you know, all of our information and our events are up to date on our website. They can check that out. And I would also encourage people that are interested to follow us on Facebook. We make daily postings about what we're cooking, what type of events we're doing that week. So if they want to follow us more closely, that's always a great place to do it.
And we will post on United Way BB on Get Connected for you. So thanks for coming in.
Hey, and thank you for having me.
You know, who knew that there was a Stepping Stones here? We're excited to hear that. You're listening to Get Connected. I'm your host, Amy Barr. Up next, United Way board member Rick Blauvelt, who also directs Raising a Reader. Rick will offer a selection of the latest community volunteer opportunities and nonprofit events posted on our Get Connected pages at unitedwaybb.org.
Welcome to Get Connected, a way to link volunteers and donors with the organizations that need them. I'm United Way Battlement to the Bells board member Rick Blauvelt. If you're looking for an opportunity to volunteer and want a project that fits your interests, you can go to unitedwaybb.org and sign up on the free Get Connected link on the right side of the United Way homepage. Check the boxes for types of volunteer activities that interest you. When your interest matches the needs of a nonprofit, you will be instantly linked and contacted by that organization to see if you want to volunteer, or you can simply follow your favorite charity. United Way does not use or share your contact information. To find current volunteer opportunities and upcoming nonprofit events, you can visit unitedwaybb.org. On the gold bar at the top of the home page, you can simply click on the Get Involved link to find a listing of volunteer opportunities and the events calendar. Here are some new opportunities to get connected with volunteer needs and events in our listening area. We can all put our hooves together for a little applause when it comes to charitable events where a big white horse takes center stage. A special advance screening of the award-winning film Harry and Snowman will benefit the Roaring Fork Valley Horse Council, Windwalkers, and the Snowman Rescue Fund. The film will be shown on Wednesday, September 28th at the Wheeler Opera House. More details are at our Get Connected events page. English in Action, which sponsors peer-to-peer tutoring between English and non-English speakers, has launched a tutor drive. The nonprofit, headquartered in El Jebel, has an ambitious goal to train 70 new volunteer tutors in 2016. So far, 43 adult volunteers have stepped up. The next volunteer orientation will be held Tuesday, September 13th, 4 to 6:30 p.m. at the Basalt Regional Library. You can find more details on our Get Connected pages on the agency pages under English in Action. And English in Action invites everyone to its lively annual Fiesta de Tamales on Saturday, October 1st in El Jebel at Eagle Crest Nursery. For more information, you can visit Get Connected and click on the events link. Youth Zone seeks volunteers and participants for its first annual race, the Youth Zone Ascent, to help raise money to take kids to the top literally and figuratively. The 5K race starts at Two Rivers Park and ends at the Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park. It's scheduled for Saturday morning, October 8th. Racers can bike, hike, run, ride a Segway, or take the tram up the mountain, and they can climb with their friends. To find these and other current volunteer opportunities and upcoming nonprofit events, you can visit unitedwaybb.org. On the gold bar at the top of the home page, you can simply click on the Get Involved link to find a listing of volunteer opportunities and the events calendar.
Thanks, Rick. My next guest is Jeffrey Barbie, a Paonia native who now lives in South Africa. As an environmental journalist, Jeff works for Global Post, LinkTV.org, and the UK Guardian. His reports also appear in the New York Times, Smithsonian Magazine, Time Magazine, Newsweek, Vanity Fair, and many other publications, and on the BBC, RTL News, PBS, and CBS. Jeff also represents Alliance Earth, which promotes independent and scientifically based environmental reporting. Jeffrey, while you're currently living and working in Johannesburg, you've got close family connections here in the KDNK listening area, and you're a Colorado native.
That's correct. I was born in Paonia, but we're a fourth-generation Aspen family. The Barbies have been in the Roaring Fork Valley for almost since 1865, yeah.
Wow. You're here visiting. How did you end up in Johannesburg anyway?
Well, when I was younger, my father got a job with the Peace Corps in Malawi. And we moved from Paonia when I was about 15 over to the African country of Malawi. And I ended up at high school in Johannesburg, which was one of the closest American curriculum schools to us.
What are you doing here besides probably a little vacation and visiting family here in September?
Well, you know, it's beautiful to be here in September. It's one of my favorite times of the year in Colorado. And what we've done is created a not-for-profit, independent, scientific, and environmental reporting initiative based here in the Roaring Fork Valley. And one of the things that we do is we fund independent science and environmental reporting all over the world. So we use our resources here in the valley to make a global impact. And that helps everybody, because what we really need around the environmental issues is better information, great stories that have an impact that allow us to make the changes that we all need to see.
And you're a videographer, is that right? I mean, I didn't even introduce you as such, but you really create video and film.
That's correct. We actually have a production team, and together we produce full-length feature documentary film. We produce writing for the Guardian newspaper in London and other production partners. I write for Reuters News Service on environmental and scientific topics. And we also produce a lot of stills photography that go along with those stories. So we're really a one-stop shop that is essentially a production agency that operates as a not-for-profit for the public good.
And then you also spread your information via NPR.
In the past, I have partnered with NPR to tell some of our more hard-hitting stories, particularly from conflict zones. I come from a background where I've worked for 26 years as a photojournalist, first for Newsweek magazine with Pulitzer Prize winner Tom Masland, and then with the New York Times. Many of those times I was in these sort of frontline states or some of these more difficult third world war zones. And I looked at that and it said, well, you know, I think we could also tell some more of these frontline environmental stories. And one thing that I found interesting, particularly over the past 3 or 4 years that we've really gotten involved in telling these frontline environmental stories, is this is a lot like reporting from a war zone. You know, we see some of this environmental devastation firsthand, and it feels like the breakdown of some of our civilization, some of our civilizing ideas. And that's important, because if you tell these stories as a journalist and you look carefully at the issues, the same things that drive wars are often present in places like, you know, the Amazon for deforestation, or, you know, where the coal industry is coming into these third world countries and sort of using some corrupt laws to leverage their way in to make money in places like that, because they're not making money in the United States. So just like some of the wars we're involved in from the United States perspective, we're also exporting some of our dirtiest industries into these third world countries, because here the environmental laws have actually prevented that type of destruction and that type of income from it here in the United States. So we've taken these tools that we honed over years of reporting on conflict and brought them to bear on science and environmental topics, And we really believe that we see that making a difference. And we hope that's the case.
Well, one of your films is The High Cost of Cheap Gas, which you have shown in the KDNK listening area. Can you talk about that?
You know, The High Cost of Cheap Gas came about because we had seen some American fracking companies coming into Southern Africa saying very much the same things that the fracking companies said to us here in Garfield County, you know, back in the day when they first moved in. And if you followed the fracking issue over time, it was really Garfield County, which was one of the places that I would say those tools were sharpened, that fracking sort of came of age. And we were the guinea pigs, or the canaries in the coal mine, I like to say. And to take this type of experience here and share that with other communities who are only now having the gas industry come in, that was really the focus of that film project. Because what we wanted to do was have a very tight 1 hour long film that would share the experience of people here in Garfield County about what it's like to experience this type of development, what are the real facts behind it, and then also what people in this valley have done to sort of ameliorate those problems or to face those facts.
Also, on a recent evening in mid-August, you were helping to run a comedy fundraiser for Alliance Earth in Carbondale. Now, give us some details about this nonprofit, or how did you work in this event with Alliance Earth? Tell us about the event.
Well, you know, it's really important. We're talking on some pretty heavy issues here. We're talking oil and gas development. We're talking about environmental destruction. But often, a lot of the reports we do are also very positive, these sort of what people can do reports and what people are doing. And we wanted to bring also a little humor into the whole environment and science debate and sort of infuse this with a little bit of fun. So we partnered with Red Yeti Productions, which is also an old family from here in the valley, Lewis Beck, which used to run Beck and Bishop's, which used to be the food shop at the old Wheeler Opera House. And he and I came up with an idea to bring a little bit of humor into the whole idea of fundraising for Alliance Earth. We can't produce these stories without help. And one of the reasons we're based here in this valley is that we're a little bit better off than a lot of other people around the world. So it's a possibility for people to really make an impact with their giving. So we wanted people to come in, have a laugh, meet me, meet some of my other team, sit back and enjoy an evening together where we could also not take everything quite so seriously. And it turned out to be an absolute success. We had David Gabori, and we're going to welcome him back. And on the 10th of December, we're going to be running this project again at the launch pad, 8 p.m. We invite everybody from the valley and the community to come and really enjoy the community that helped develop some of these stories and drive them out to the international world.
So we will post that information at unitedwaybb.org under Get Connected for Alliance Earth. But I also want to provide a link on our Get Connected pages, because I was totally blown away when I saw your film about the Black Mambas of Kruger National Park. Now, many people here, including myself, have been tourists in Kruger National Park in South Africa. Explain what the Black Mambas do, because quite frankly, when I was there, I would have no idea of the anti-poaching effort. I've heard of poaching. I know it happens in Africa, but in Kruger National Park, of all places? So explain the Black Mambas to us, and then we will provide a link to the film.
I really appreciate you bringing that up, because this is typical of the type of work that Alliance Earth does. We bring unreported stories to the world's media. And a year and a half ago, I was in Kruger doing a story with KCET, which is a public television station, the biggest one in North America. It's based out of California. And we were doing a story for Earth Focus about what is going on with the rhinos in Kruger. Kruger National Park has the greatest collection of rhinos left on planet Earth. There's about 12,000 of them left in the wild there. And they are experiencing a level of poaching that is completely unsustainable. In the last 12 months, we've seen 945 rhinos poached out of Kruger. It is nothing less than a low-level bush war that, you know, countries around the world are helping the South African government fight, including ours, to the tune of between $2 and $7 million a month. There doesn't appear to be any solution to this crisis, but while I was there, I discovered a small team of dedicated people who had been using their own money to fund women from the communities to be trained as high-level anti-poaching units. These women went straight through the same paramilitary training that all the anti-poaching units go through, and they were deployed unarmed into the frontline areas of Kruger that run right up against the communities.
Unarmed women. How is that working then?
Well, incredibly enough, the Black Mamba, all-female, unarmed, anti-poaching unit in Bulule National Park, which is part of the Kruger, is the single most effective anti-poaching unit in Africa. One of the reasons for that is because they have included the women from the communities, and because they're unarmed, they don't provoke the poachers into firing. You know, but they're de-escalating the conflict and also addressing the root cause of poaching, which is a separation between the conservation that's happening in the communities and the communities themselves. They're mixing those two up. They're putting the women to work and offering another way for the community to make money and to develop, getting skills, getting jobs, and bringing the community into the park and giving them the skills to actually benefit from it. We produced the first film about them, which is available online for free. You can catch it on our website or through
UnitedWayBB.org. Get connected, and we will provide the link to that. And now you have talked about this on KDNK, World Headquarters, right here in the Roaring Fork Valley.
Well, I really appreciate KDNK. And, you know, it's something that over the time that I've spent here, and I was a student at Colorado Mountain College, going through the photography program there back in the early 90s. I followed KDNK, and I really believe in you guys' mission. I think that it's just fantastic what you guys do here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you all.
And we hope to have you back in December as you get ready for another fundraiser with comedy. So thank you so much, Jeffrey Barbie.
Thank you.
Thanks to our listeners for joining us on Get Connected. Thanks also to our guests Kyle Crawley and Jeffrey Barbie, as well as to United Way board member Rick Blauvelt and KDNK Public Affairs Director Amy Haddon-Marsh.